Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Welcome to the American Allegiance Show from PNR, the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And first of all, I want to say we need to pray for our friends of Florida, our family, if you have any down there. Our great host, the leader of this network, is down there. He's making reports every so many hours, and I'm surprised he still has power, but they're getting hit pretty hard, devastated. Remember them as we go forward. But because of that storm that we had, or that they had in Florida yesterday, my original guest that was supposed to be on this program tonight, who's running for Congress in Florida, could not make it. And I had to pull my resources, and I had another guest lined up. Anyway, it was Mr. Ricky Padgett, and he's actually a former sheriff in North Carolina, among other things. Kind of bored, and see how that works out. I know you're going to enjoy this show, because he's supposed to be scheduled for a couple weeks from now. So I'm going to add it to the stream at this time. Go. Welcome to the program, Mr. Ricky Patrick. How are you doing? Ricky, hear me?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Great. Good to have you on. And you're a last second guest. I appreciate you doing that. Yeah, right. I totally agree. So, yeah, this is the popular venue now because the truth doesn't exist anymore in the mainstream media. Right. That's right. Yeah, we have the right to speak, you know, our voice. Right. Absolutely. Here, let's see what's going on. This isn't working correctly today. But anyway, we will work on this and get it back on. We can keep talking here. Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me? Can you see me? Okay, good. Yeah, there's something going on. This happens on like my other friend's show. This is kind of test that you asked me. So we keep going in and out. There we go. So tell us about your career. Okay. Some reason we're breathing. I don't know why that is. I don't know what's going on here. I think we lost something here. Yeah, something's not right. Yeah. You want to try that real quick? Hold on a second. Let me try that real quick. I'll reset this. Here we go. Wait a minute. Okay, now it looks like it's normal. Can you hear me okay? Maybe I'll just do that. Hold on. Okay. So could you go back over what you were talking about your career? Right.
Right.
Like I said, I always did really well in that because they
tell the truth, there's no gray areas. Lay it out there, that let it out. Tell the truth, the chances are 9 times out of 10, it's a learning curve. You'll go back out there and you'll learn to feel better and don't make the same mistake. The end. But yeah, sometimes we're all our own worst enemy when we want to defend what we did, even though sometimes it's not always correct or right.
Right, black and white.
It is. It's clear.
Just like the military, right? Cut and dry.
That's it. When you say you march left, you march left. You look like the Three Stooges. Some of you young kids out there, you might want to look that up.
Exactly. Yeah, that went over a lot of people's heads. Maybe not my audience, but you know. Yeah.
I always love when you're around young folks. Who is? And you ask them somebody. I asked the kid the other day. John Wayne, he just looked at me and was,
oh man. No, we're not there yet.
Somebody needs to know John Wayne.
Right.
Or ask them who Red Skelton
is. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I went back to these people. You know, when you look at when you, in the context of things, they were known for that. You had Bob, John Wayne, got Clint Eastwood. People don't realize it. I think it was the top three go-tos. Well, my last friend for the Americanism and being a 100% patriotic. You had Bob Hope, you had Red Skelton, and you had Elvis Presley in the top five. So people were like, wow, wait, really? Well, when you go back and you define these people's careers, you see where the country played into what they were about, what they did, and what they talked about. We don't have that anymore. You just don't have it. I mean, it's unfortunate because. And again, I think it's back to, we're not teaching in the classroom anything about being proud Americans.
Exactly. Yeah. That's our education today. It's not America first anymore. Yeah. Right. Yes, of course.
Under Trump, he was sitting them, hold them back. It was like, you know, he moved them back to their end zone, and they were having to play out of their own end
zone. Yes, it's true. Right. Absolutely. Thank you. Right. Right. I hear people talk about that and everything is going on with inflation, and they're saying we need a Republican back in because this isn't working. This is hurting people seriously. You know, it's getting so real now than it ever has. I can't remember, probably back in the late 70s. Mm-hmm. And that's what Congress is for. Right. Yeah.
Seen a lot of crazy stuff. Look at Joe Manchin. Look what he does.
Yeah,
that game.
Right.
He's going to be conservative, and he gets everybody. He only is negotiating a bigger one for himself somewhere else.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, you're right. And it happens every time.
It does. He plays that game. Now Schumer and them, they took away his civil care. He's not happy about it. He's already sold himself to the devil. You know, he didn't sell himself to the devil. Well, maybe he did, but he did dance for the devil's sister, and that's all that counts. He took her to the devil.
Right, yeah. Right. Absolutely. So I'm thinking, I don't know.
But anyway, so yeah.
I don't know if he was in the military or not, but, you know, I don't know what branch you were in. What branch were you in? The Army? Okay.
I was in the United States. I was in the Army. I was with the 101st Airborne Division, 3rd Infantry Division. So, yeah, spent some time over in Germany, too.
Fort Bragg.
Yeah, see, I was Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
Fort Campbell, okay.
So, yeah. We were right there near Nashville, so we got the chance on the weekends to go and do things. And that was when the Grand Ole Opry and some of the country stuff was really kicking off. So, if you'd be somewhere and you meet up one of those country stars,
yeah.
Anywhere, you know, so and then sometimes on the weekends you make a little money because you find out there's a country star close by and they reach out to the military and say they wanted to come and help them do the setup for the shows. So you eat good, you get to watch the show, and you make a little bit of money. Not a lot.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, I was Air Force, and we did a lot of work at the Army. We worked together. All military does. And my point is,
my point is this, you know, you and I personally, you and I could probably go in there, go to Congress, because really, we're independent people, military, former military guys, and whatever they bring it on. You know, it's not like, oh, well, I got a cave. I know there's a lot of pressure and everything, and I understand you ran for an office at one time, or did you get an office?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I ran twice, and probably it was a big three counties. And if you look at it on the land map, it was more red than it was blue, and the blue little spots, little areas of Durham. And those blue spots were enough to outvote everybody, two, three counties total. So what you ended up having is that in those small areas in Durham, those little pockets for a lot of folks, that a lot of Democrats that would come and vote, and then everything else.
Yeah.
Outside that, because all that was going to three spots. So like in Gravel County, I'm Grand Forsyth, and Trump, and Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson got 60,600 votes. Trump got like 16,700 some votes. When I looked at mine, I had like 15,700 some. So, you know, it was a strong, I had a strong message and a, you know, strong line of support, because I was pretty close to those two guys, and they were the, what I call the power lifters, the heavyweight,
mm-hmm.
Trump. You know, if you can get all of 1,000 votes in an election, that's a pretty solid victory for that county. So I ended up winning that by about 1,500 votes. And then in one county over Person County, I ended up winning that by about 3,500 votes.
Wow.
But when I got to Durham, I lost in Durham, and if I can remember, I lost by about 19,000 votes. When you total it up, Durham wins the day.
Right.
Hey, once you had a taxation out representation, which is the opposite of what they're supposed to have. They get no representation from that senator. He goes up, he bows, hi, how you doing? I'm coming up here. You guys got it going on. Have a nice day. I'm out. I'll leave you. See you later. That's why he didn't do well. But again, all his focus and time is in that one county that he can win in. So, again, the other counties get taxation without representation. And to me, that's part of the process. You know, no one should have taxation without representation.
Right.
You know, that's the foundation of who we are as a country.
Exactly.
Because we pay taxes, we should get representation. And if you take away taxes, the company doesn't exist the way the Constitution is set up. You can't do it. So, you know, it's unfortunate. I always said, you know, I'm not a scholar, but being the executive director for the North Carolina Sheriff Police Alliance, I sit back and I look sometimes, I think outside the box. And I'll go to the attorneys and I'll say, hey, what about this? And it's nothing so good or great when you go to an attorney and say, what about this? And he goes, wow, I hadn't thought about that. That might be an angle to go at. Well, there you go. And I think sometimes everybody thinks so much in that box, they can't get out of it. And then when you start thinking about, well, maybe if we do this or this, or this company, you know how they set up their offense or their defense. You got to study both of them.
Right.
And when you see that crack in the defense, you know where you can run, or crack an offense, you know what you go through. And that's kind of why I sit there sometimes, and I look and I go, and I think about certain cases, and I think, well, maybe this will work. You know, and a lot of times it just gets people back to the negotiating table because they don't want to have to go through all that which you just brought up, which is always good because you now know that you could probably have an opportunity that you might win that case. But if they mediate it, then you don't have to worry about it and they don't have to see it again until that case comes up again and you're a smart aleck to bring it right back. You know, so, I mean, it's not always about trying to kick the door in with people. It's just, game. Sometimes the law, when you're dealing with folks, is just like a game of chess.
Yeah. You don't know what's coming next. That's a dangerous job. You don't have any idea what you're dealing with on every, and you know, and it's not like the police are going around trying to shoot people of color or anything. This, I'm tired of that narrative. If you run from the police, I don't care what color you are, you're going to get shot or tased.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you.
Also, you guys have, what's your thoughts of, you know, defunding the police, the whole craziness?
You know, we always say, if you want to defund the police, you need a cop, call a crackhead, see who gets there first. You know, that's just the way it is. I don't know any drug dealers going to come and help you out. You know, it's just the way it is. You look across America, defund the police, and I'm going to bring it back even further with this. You know, we've been defunding the police for a long time, but people haven't really recognized. They're constantly cutting your budgets. Why have they been doing it? Because they don't think that what you were using the money for or what you made use of is significant enough to warrant attention.
Yeah.
Now they bring it a little bit closer, bring it out. It becomes I think it was the dumbest political strategy I've ever heard of. But sooner or later, that. When they were riding the highway, they were highway. I mean, it was everywhere you go. Businesses were being tortured. People were being tortured with that mindset. If you didn't agree to defund the police, they'd go after your business, your reputation, your family. I've had the Democrat senators call me and say, hey, what will it take to get the North Carolina Police Alliance endorsement? And I said, it's a simple endorsement to get. During the defunding of the police era, which still exists, if you could show me that you didn't scream, yell, holler, or support defund the police, well, no, you can ask so-and-so. You can go talk to so-and-so. They'll tell you, go talk to this officer. Go talk to that officer. But we know politicians. They can go tell anybody they want to. The reality is, show me in writing. Show me the documentation. Show me the article. Show me the picture. Show me the news clip where you were sitting there saying, this defund the police nonsense has to stop. We need to fund our law enforcement. Or show me where you were supporting law enforcement. If you can show me that, we can have the conversation. Do you know how many senators have reached back?
Zero.
To me, I've got to be zero. Not one single one.
That's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. But let them prove, and what they did is they proved that they weren't a support of law enforcement. And then Biden says, well, you know, defund the police. I've never said defund the police. No, what you said, Mr. Biden, was redirect funding. That's just a slick way of saying redirect police funds to somewhere else. Defund the police by doing this, but fund something else.
Right.
It's counterproductive to law enforcement because now you think about it, the people screaming holler matter, the money that was defunded the police. So now you've bought your votes, and now you've taken the votes to the left, and there you go. You've not only bought it, but you made them proud. So you give them money. And then you give them a great, warm, fuzzy feeling about taking away from the police. Meantime, police are being ambushed and killed every day in this country. They're being set up. They've been murdered. I mean, it's not like they're just going to a call. These people are calling police so they can kill them.
No way. I didn't hear about that. That's crazy.
Well, do all think about New Orleans. New Orleans, remember they had the guy down there? He ended up shooting all the ones in New Orleans. Look at Dallas. Remember the guy was laid up in the, I guess it was in the parking deck somewhere in one of the buildings. I think they would say he was probably at the parking decks.
Right.
And it was random shooting all those people. And in North Carolina, and I think South Carolina, you're seeing these deputies are going to calls and they're being ambushed before they get to the door. You know, and all they say is, well, you know, the guy there, the domestic situation. Well, yeah, it was. But he still ambushed the law enforcement officer when he got there. Or they call in, and it happens a lot. You always hear about it. But now you hear about it because they defund the police. But it makes it tough. You know, these guys are out there putting it online. What are they doing? They're targets. They're walking, talking targets for somebody who wants to take them out simply because it's being motivated from as high as the white. 8,000 times. They'll come home, feel bad, and let's respect, let's honor, but they won't tell people to stop doing it. Have you ever heard the White House come out and say, look, killing police officers has to stop. You guys need to stop this.
No.
Here.
No.
But when you had Trump there, he'd say, aren't we? He's coming after you. In North Carolina, we're fortunate. We have the best lieutenant governor
yes.
ever been elected lieutenant governor. And that man's going to be governor in this state. Everything into a Jimmy Johns. And I had my Mark Robinson hat on. The whole thing. And he's got my vote. But the internet's kind of popping in out a little bit. But
yeah.
So Mark Robinson's solid. And people love him. And everywhere you go, he's got my vote. He's got my vote. And I'm hoping that he's going to make the announcement. He's going to run for governor. I feel very comfortable that he is. I was there on, when he was running the ground support with him for him, working hard to get him elected. I knew him before he became governor. And he's just straight up back. What you see is what you get. There's no in between. If he tells you that he woke up this morning and that sky was orange, he's got enough credibility to know that it was probably a sailor sunset and a sailor sunrise and whatever it is. You know, bottom line is, you can bet that sky was orange because the man has that much integrity, for what he's doing. And he doesn't back down from that. And I think it's, as long as he stands toe-to-toe with whether it's even people in the public or the politicians, the news press, the media, he doesn't take anything off the media. He calls them. He runs for governor. He's going to win by landslide because the feeling here is strong. He traveled in, I think he told me, 99 or 97 counties to his campaign. All grassroots. People in each county support him, guys, reaching out to each other and going and working the polls and doing all those things. He's a grassroots candidate.
I like that.
I forgot that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, politicians these days, they're all polished and they're out for themselves. They're out for what benefits them. And that's what we have, a Congress and Senate full of those kind of people. And, you know, governors, and it's a power seat, and even school boards to that level.
Right. And even look at the benefits that these guys are raking in for being a senator or congressman. If you think about the benefits, they got the best dental plans, the best health plans, they got everything the best, but it doesn't mimic anything the average person gets.
Right.
You know, they get the best of everything. You live there, they get a retirement, and then you take... God, that's been up there. Good Lord. And how many are lifetime politicians?
Yes.
Professional politicians? Biden was a professional politician.
Right.
Now, and Romney, he's a professional politician.
Yep.
He didn't need the money, but I can bet you one thing, he'd get mad if his check wasn't there. You know, that's the way these guys work. So, yeah, and how do you become a millionaire? How do you become a millionaire overnight? Or how do you end up with $50 million when you get out of the White House and the only amount of money you collected was $400,000 a year to be president?
Right. AOC is worth $27 million now.
Yeah, right. And that, think about that. AOC, a bartender from New York,
mm-hmm.
worth $27 million
a junior congressman.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I mean, he doesn't, I always said, follow the money, follow the money. How do you follow $20 to $27 million?
And I retired a federal employee, and if anybody had that kind of bank account, we'd be like questioned, and you take your security clearance away because there's something wrong there. Something is not right.
Yeah. You better not even drive up a brand new car.
Right.
What's that? You got a brand new car. What kind of car is that? Oh, it's a wow, that's nice. Nice to have all that money, right? Yeah, okay, whatever. And next thing you know, somebody's like, I got done the budget I'm on. You don't have to make the money I make. You know what? Some people have saved the money, and we do. If you have that convenience.
Mm-hmm.
If you have the convenience to do that.
Right.
Because some people are struggling day to day.
Paycheck
to paycheck. It's worse now than it's ever been. I think I saw the other day there. One report says it's $7,200. You owe $7,200 before on the 1st of January, automatically, based on what we're doing now.
Yeah, right.
For everything else.
Yes.
Yeah. And a child born. Before a child is born, that's how much that comes into this world, owes $218,000. They are born in debt.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Your children are born $218,000 in debt. What does that say about the future of our children based on how things are going for our budget?
That says the people running the ship, the people at the front, are reckless and they're in it for themselves. And I'll be honest, man, doesn't win, and the house always wins over the citizens. And you know, just like you're saying about everybody that's been in that long, they don't get, just like we had to get our security clearances in the military. They don't have to do that. They are handed top secret with no investigation, with Chinese spies everywhere. And they let it happen. There's nobody, they have no accountability. That's the whole point.
The bottom line, look at what was it, Swalwell, look.
Yes, Swalwell.
Swalwell, look. I mean, the bottom line is, look, the Chinese were picking his pocket and set a woman in there to do everything, you know, to take advantage of him, and she did. And guess what? And he sits on the Intel Committee?
Yes.
How many secrecy do you think the Chinese were able to get? I can guarantee you, wherever he was staying or sleeping, there is a bug or was a bug in that place.
Yes.
You can count on, because that's the way the Chinese do it.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. It's not what she says. It's what she places in there so they can listen to what he says.
Absolutely. It's a shame.
That way they don't miss anything. And, you know, and I'm sure she has some on her every time they went out to dinner. So it's a standard piece of equipment that the Chinese use, and why wouldn't they? Would the Americans do it? You think Americans wouldn't do that?
Oh, they would. Yeah.
Yeah. We just got to find somebody that's stupid enough to do what Swalwell did.
You leave Hunter out of this.
Yeah. And Pelosi puts him right back up in there.
Yeah. Right.
Go figure. So, and it gets back to, so I thought about this, and you know, what they don't want to talk about her is that everything that's happened in a lot of the administration before is she set in motion. I mean, a lot of things that she set in motion. People knew she was vindictive. People knew that she was shrewd. And unfortunately, and I would say this to President Trump, you came in, you did a great job. You ran it like a businessman and treated it like people were good, doing good and making money. What you forgot is you probably should have watched a few more episodes of Dallas from 1970, and you'd have probably figured these people out, you know, because they were ruthless, and they took advantage of the fact that they knew he wanted to get along with them, and they smiled and grinned and acted like they were going to, and in the meantime, they were detonating bombs behind his back that he didn't know where they were coming from, so it was too late.
Wow.
So it was their strategy. I mean, you know, what was it, play like your friends?
Yeah.
And then when you get caught, then you're always enemies anyway, so it really doesn't matter. You know, it's crazy. You know, like I said, and then, you know, but I think Trump by far was probably the best president we've ever had in getting things done.
Yes. You know, yes, absolutely he was.
He said, I'm going to do it, and I did it. This is what I'm gonna do. 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 And what happened? Did it. You know. And now he's not here. What do we got? We're having more opioids. He was working on the opioid overdose and all these places. We don't have to slow that down. Now we got a new administration in. We've got people walk across the board with fentanyl, any kind of opiates they want to. And 107,000 overdoses last year from opiates and things like that. To me, and then say, okay, well, let the border open. That'll come up back in this year. Oh, by this time, why don't we just make it look like tar candy and pass it back to children? Yeah.
Right.
That's the demise of a country when you allow other countries to come after you. China makes the drug. They send it to the cartels, to whatever country brings it in. They bring it in. China makes it. Now China is teaching the cartels how to make it. You know, because they're close. Yeah, they're teaching how to make it. But certain ones are, and now they're making it. And the way they make it might be just a little bit different. And then next thing you know, well, we got an arrest. We got over $2 million worth of fentanyl. What you got was the president allowed somebody to walk in with $2 million worth of fentanyl, and you got it. You may have gotten it, but you wouldn't have got it had he not been president. Had Trump still been president, there would be no place to walk over with that so freely. You know, it wouldn't be that easy. And you wouldn't have the 107,000 fentanyl opiate overdoses. I mean, if you think about it, if you're looking at 100, just round it off to 100,000, and you got 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. You're talking about 2,000 overdoses per state a year. Break that down to a place that has, North Carolina has 100 counties.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when you start breaking it down, and there'll be more here and there, but do that all over the country, and you can see how powerful that is, because it's not 20 or 30 people, it's 20, 30 families.
Wow, yeah. It
relates to how many people that one overdose touches.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just that. So when you say 20, and now you multiply that by the number of people in the family, in that time, and you can see how many people in one area are really touched by this. You know, and I think we've got to get back to being serious about stopping these drugs and not let every willy-nilly walk across the border. And I sympathize with these folks that are coming across the rivers and the children are drowning. There's nothing worse than, you know, the children don't put themselves in that position.
Right.
Adults put them in that position. Children don't put themselves in the position to come to America to be sexually abused before they get here. You know,
right.
We have an administration that seems to be very okay with that. Yet they'll talk about all these laws and human trafficking and all these things, but the reality is they're not stopping it at the border. It's like, let the poison grow. Don't worry about it. We'll kill it later. And what happens with the poison ivy? You got to go to the core and the root of it. Start all over again and hope that you can get it. How many times you cut a vine and you think it's gone just for it to reappear again? That's the way it is coming across the border with the drugs.
So that puts a lot of strain on the police officers, the local law enforcement, and the hospitals. And you have to be sort of like an on-the-spot doctor to save these lives of these people. And it can't be a pretty sight. It can't be.
It's not. I mean, officers are issued Narcan now.
Right.
They're actually issued the drug that brings them right back. I've seen it happen so many times. Hospitals are bringing these people in that have the drug problem just to release them back out and have them OD come back in and hit with another shot of Narcan. You know, hospitals have it really tough because they can't work on the sick because they're too busy having to deal with the overdoses. They're too busy of overcrowded emergency rooms, too busy giving beds to people who have the drug issue, who have mental issues that they take away from the beds of the people who need treatment. And it's tough in every hospital. It's not just one. It's all across America. So each hospital will tell you, you could have 20 rooms that allow 20 people in there, but you may have 11, 12, 13 in there that are having mental episodes right now, or some drug activity as far as a drug overdose, addictions. Now you get somebody comes in, has a heart
condition. Yeah.
Condition. Yeah. And you lay that number 21. Yeah. So, and their condition is where they get treatment later, or they get treatment in time. So it's an epidemic that our government has gone to sleep on. We've got administrations asleep. They're soundly asleep at the wheel.
Well, it sounds like they're letting this happen on purpose.
Oh yeah, why wouldn't they stop it? They see it's going on. And I'm surprised. Finally, some of the press is starting to ask the questions and call it out. And you know, I guarantee you, you know why they're probably doing that? It's not because they have a conscience overnight. It's because they're finding out somebody in their family, somebody in their news family has been affected by it.
Right, yeah.
So they no longer will stay quiet. It's not because they, I've got a conscience overnight and we need to get the message out. No, it's not. It's straight up. It's they've been affected by it one way or the other. It's not a thing of, well, I feel bad, let's go and get it out there. Trace it back. Somebody in that news team, that crew or family members have had the overdose. Somebody's been affected by it.
Mm,
that's
yeah.
The motivation.
Right.
It's not a conscience because the majority of news companies, they don't move on conscience.
Right.
You know, they like things that shock the conscience. Yeah, and that's what they drive off of. And, you know, you just can't understand sometimes. You know, you can see one show and you watch another show and they're all on the same page and you're thinking, what are they, what world, what time zone, what dimension are they in? When you're sitting there watching something and you see it, what about, what's the one in New York where the guy kicked the woman in the head and got beaten or kicking her recently?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and he beat his mom and his grandmother that way.
Incredible.
Before we let him out, because he had mental problems. What did you do about that? What did you do about dealing with the mental problem?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, if you take care of them and deal with those, we've gotten away from treating the mental health and making sure that they have enough caseworkers to mind the shift, so to speak, so they're taking their meds. Somebody has a check-in, they know that this person's taking it. You know, because people do go off their medications. People have serious mental issues, and they do need those kind of medicines. But if they don't have somebody that has some kind of oversight in that, supervise that, what's their capability? What can they do? What will they do? We don't know.
Right.
Unless you know about the person, and who would know that. So I think we as a society, if we spend more time trying to figure out that piece, you would see the crime rate start dropping a little bit. But it's not going to drop as long as you let everybody willy-nilly the way across the border.
That's right, yeah.
Like, whatever you bring, drugs, guns, it doesn't matter. 50-some terrorists arrested in 1 year, identified as across the border. How many do you think that across the border nobody's identified?
Millions.
And sleeper cells.
Right.
How many sleeper cells do you think we got now throughout this country? Unbelievable.
What do you think about this? What if we went to the border and we had processing centers and it took 3 days to get through it? That's the way it should. If you're going to do that, you got to do it right.
I think if you go to the border, here's what you ought to do. I like the way they did it before was you're not going to come across the border. You can make your application. If it fits the guidelines of the law, then you apply it. If it doesn't, you turn them right back around and say, sorry, Charlie, here
right.
for you. This is America, and your application has been denied. Have a nice day. And see, when Mexico was over there keeping everybody back, it was working perfectly.
Yes.
It was fine.
Right.
You know, now, I got 3 million people since the new president came in. You know that's future Democrats. Handwriting's on the wall. It's future Democrats. But you know what the funny part is? If you talk to a lot of people who
who've been through the process. Specialists who've worked on, who've done all the things they can do to be prosperous in the country. They don't like this nonsense either because they had to do it the hard way.
Right.
You know, and it was business not so long ago. The guy told me flat out, he goes, America first, man. America first. I said, well, so that means you're a Trump fan. He goes, absolutely.
Mm.
He said, I teach my kids America first. And he told me, he said, they came over here. He said, when in business, he came over here like year 2000. It is 2022. He told me it took him 11 years to become a citizen. And you got,
yeah.
And they were staying hard on him about working towards that because he said that they were really cracking down on him being here. And then he got a citizenship. And he ended up buying a business, financing it, and now he's doing very well. But he's working hard every day. It's not an easy business he's in. You know?
Yeah, but the difference between giving somebody something and somebody doing it on their own, somebody wanting to be here. So you don't want, you know, it's just like the Army. You don't want people in there that don't want to be in there. You don't want people drafted who are not all
right.
In. Just like the citizens, the same thing.
You don't want people who want to be in there. You want people in there who are going to drive you down, bring you down.
Right.
You know, and the cliche is an old one. It's you're only as strong as your weakest link. And if your weakest link is sitting over there crying in the corner, strength is not going to be your asset. You know, that's just not going to work. It's like in the workforce. Disgruntled employees can cause more issues than anything you can think of.
Yes.
You know, a disgruntled employee, you know, and I always say, hey, I get it. You may not like your job. You may this, but while you're there, I don't care if you're the guy who mops the floor. Mop the floor better than anybody's ever done it.
Absolutely.
I don't care. You know what I mean? It's, you do, own what you do, be accountable to what you do, and don't worry about anybody else. Because if you take care of what you're supposed to do, if everybody does that, at the end of the day, at the end of the night, you got a finished product that's supposed to be the way it's supposed to be. And all you can do is go home knowing, I did what I was supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it was. And that's just the way it works. Yeah. I think we've got a fingertip generation. People want things handed to them.
Mm-hmm.
If Amazon can't bring it to them, they ain't going to do it.
Right.
Yeah. If Amazon doesn't bring it to you, then it's not going to be done.
Yeah. It's, everything's so easy. But like you can get your eggs already boiled and peeled.
Yeah. I mean, you get somebody get on the couch, they sit on the couch. They get up in the morning and go, all of a sudden, they boom, 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 click, click, here it comes.
Yeah, I know.
I think I need this. Oh, let me, boom, boom, here it comes. You got it. It'll be here in 2 days.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. I love the convenience of Amazon. Don't get me wrong.
Me too.
I'm looking for something, and it's cheap. They've got it. I understand it. And I don't begrudge anybody that can make money like that.
Right.
I wish I could get some of it. You know, they can feel sorry for me if they wanted to. Send me a few dollars. I'm good either way. Yeah.
So. Yeah. I used to sell Teddy Ruxpin bears. You know,
mm-hmm.
I would actually get them from Shop Goodwill and repair them, and I'd sell them for like $200, $300.
Yeah.
I'd get them for like $10. They have endless supply on Shop Goodwill. Endless.
But you know what?
And they're in demand. I haven't done that for a while, but it's just something. It's like, wait a minute, this is worth a lot of money. Some people are selling for $300, and that's probably even more now.
You know, I found out the other day, and I didn't know it. My wife and I were talking about this, and she's got some vintage furniture from the '60s and
mm-hmm.
yeah, from back in the day. You know, the old the shell chairs, the like the seashell chair.
Yeah,
where you had. Landscaping or the gliders, the old-fashioned gliders.
Yeah.
You know, and you sit in the metal and they have the patterns on them. Well, those gliders, if they're finished and cleaned up, powder coated, and they look good, they're worth $1,500.
Wow.
I thought, wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, but you know, if I know it's worth $1,500, most of America knows it's worth $1,500. There's no need to go look for any extra ones to get done.
Right.
But if you find one and you, it's probably going to cost you about $650 to fix that glider up, it's worth $1,500 when you're done. So don't let me see you in the glider business when we get out here.
No, I won't be. I got too much other stuff. I got too much stuff to do. I don't have time for that.
That's too much like work, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'm retired on one job and I do this, and I'm an executive director for the North Carolina Sheriff Police Alliance and also a director for a security company for two hospitals. So I do stay busy, there's no doubt about that. But you know, it's like anything else. You get out of it, you build your resume and then you use it when you retire. You don't have to. That's what it's there for. And when it's time that you just say, "Hey, I'm done," then you can just, you're done. I still enjoy what I do. I would like to lean more in the long term, to doing things like this.
Yeah.
As opposed to going out and doing some other stuff. But, you know, this to me is, I enjoy this because I do think that as long as we're out here trying to educate the public, you know, and look, I'm telling you something, I'm going to play like I know everything. Well, sometimes I'll play like that. I don't.
Yeah.
For some of you out there, I don't always know everything.
Let me ask your wife.
Yeah, I think my wife is going to play this. It's probably going to be sad that she might be playing this a whole lot. But I tell you, I'm fortunate. I'm lucky. I've got a wonderful wife. She understands. She understood law enforcement. There was never pressure there. She understood that when you're married to a law enforcement officer, that you pretty much share your husband with everybody out there, whether they are the damsels in distress or it's somebody who just needs community service issues that are going on, or somebody who needs a pep talk at 3 o'clock in the morning when you're in the bed sound asleep. You know, and that has happened many, many times. Yeah, so it does work that way. She's always been very understanding of that. So I tell a law enforcement officers, what you really need to survive in law enforcement if you're married is an understanding wife who understands that law enforcement has certain things that go with it, and that you can't always just jump away and say, "Hey, I'm on my way home," and actually be on your way home, because you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
Once you get there to the door, yeah. So it works that way. So, but I'm fortunate. She's always been supportive of that. Never. And then there's been some times where she's been wake up 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning watching television and see a shootout here or there, and know that that's where I was most of the night. And she didn't hear anything from me. And it's not always a good thing. So I always kind of like, well, once I can get to a place where everything calmed down, I'd always say, let me call her just in case. You know, because I would work off duty at certain places. And sometimes the gangs would get out of control and start shooting. And then you're in the middle of a firefight and you got 67 casings when it's over laying out on the ground, finding out what in the heck just happened, you know. And yeah, it's happened before. And then you're like, okay, well, and then all of a sudden it's all over the news. And you might go to be working there.
Scary.
And
that's,
I better make this call fast. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to thank you for your service, because I consider the police, it's a more dangerous job because you do it every day instead of being deployed to a spot. You guys you're in it. Unexpected things. So
I appreciate
you. Always back to blue. Not just the Air Force, but the police, because everything that the military does is planned. What you guys do is not. And you put yourself in harm's way.
There's a lot of surprise moments, I can tell you that. You don't know. There. You know, hope for the best, but you prepare for the worst.
Yes.
And you've got to go to work. I used to tell the guys all the time, you've got to go to work every day. You've got to be on your A game. Because the minute you're not, somebody else will be, and it won't matter anymore. You want to go back home to your family the same way you left.
Right.
Standing up, walking and talking. Work hard to be safe. You know, I always tell everybody on the side of my shows,
Yeah, always be real. Be safe. But always be ready. Because you never know when that wolf is knocking at your door. That's a fact, because there's a lot of wolves out there, and they will knock at your door first, and I hope that you answer and you're not prepared. I tell everybody, you know, another thing is, you know, law enforcement's not always going to be where you need them when you need them.
Right.
The best thing you can do is figure out how to protect yourself ahead of time if they're not. Say, well, how do I do that? And I always tell them, buy a gun.
Yes.
Buy a gun. Our Constitution says you have the right to do that. Buy yourself a gun. Learn how to use it. And don't be afraid to use it when you need to. When your life is in jeopardy or somebody else is in jeopardy, you have the right to protect yourself or a third party from imminent, you know, death, dangerous harm or anything of that nature. So it's you know, it's something that we as Americans tend to forget. You know, it's, whether it's you're in a place, and you never know when you're going to be sitting in the grocery store and an active shooter show up.
Right.
What do you do? Be thinking about these things outside the box. If I go into this grocery store and I'm walking around, and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, an active shooter was to come through here, what would I do right now? What is my best avenue to protect myself and anybody in here? Because I think like a cop.
Mm-hmm.
The other person might go in and say, what is my best avenue to get the heck out of here?
Right.
And that's what it should be, because I'm trained to be a cop.
Right, right.
We as cops will go running in and won't even think about it. I've been in a situation that, not just me, every cop in this country has been in a situation where they've run and just in a second chance, second thought, and then when they leave, they go, what the heck was I thinking? Have that moment where they realize what they had just not law enforcement at the time, who else would do it? Because practice makes perfect, and train on that. It becomes, it's instant.
Right.
My wife, I have to give you a wife's tour. You're going to love this. So we go out. She wants to learn how to shoot a firearm. Take her out. We got one. She shoots the phone, X-ring out like you would never believe. So as she's not got an X-ring, I said, wow. For someone, you know, hadn't done a lot of shooting with a pistol, I must be a great instructor, you know, or she's really got better eyesight than I did. So what do I do? I take it and I start aiming. Same thing she does, she outshoots me. And I'm thinking, wow. But what I realized and I already knew is if I have to sit there and line myself up to shoot, I'm not always the best shot. But if I shoot on instinct, I can put it where I need to put it. But if I take time to think about it, it's just too much time for me. I shoot on instinct, and I shoot a lot better.
Yeah, that's just, your brain is the calculator. And if you overthink your calculator, then you can't. This is like I used to shoot three-point shots, threes. If I toss it up there and I let my brain calculate it, I can get it in, I can swish it in, but if I think too much, I can't. It can't happen.
Yeah. Think long, think wrong. Remember that? When you go, okay, think long, you think wrong.
Yeah, that's right.
It's always the same. Think long, think wrong.
Yeah.
So as I got older, and, you know, by doing sports, whether it was pitching the ball from the mound or softball or, I think that's what I didn't say, hardball, you know what I'm saying? If it's a certain age, they got to go away because those balls hurt. I've been hit too many times for them. So you pitch a softball, think long, think wrong. You're out there, you bat, think long, think wrong. Golf. Everything, if you think too long, you overthink it. But if you move on instinct, you seem to do a better flow. It flows better.
Yes. I agree.
So it's kind of like it. And if it doesn't feel natural when you're doing it, don't do it. Like I used to tell somebody, you know, you go to fall and you get ready to fall, and instead of in a rolling position where you could tumble out of it, but you try to shift yourself on the opposite side so you catch yourself, that doesn't feel, that's not even natural. Go with the flow, because it's a natural. Natural, you'll either survive something a whole lot better than if you try to put any resistance to it.
So that's what they teach in martial arts and all these classes that I've taught, you know, because I did some of that stuff and teaching for law enforcement officers. I used to always tell them, let it flow naturally. And then you build a resistance to something you're going to hurt or break something. And it makes sense when you look at it, you know. But, you know, it's just, I think we live and work off of instinct. If you think about walking through a room, somebody throws a ball at you. Boom.
Yeah.
That's what your natural reaction. Boom.
Yeah.
And you catch it without thinking about it. So, you know, but that's kind of the gist of it.
Yeah, yeah. So you actually become, you know, become one with your job. So, and that phenomenon is amazing to me, how people become one with their instruments or playing sports or they're even the car, even race car drivers. It's amazing. People can do impossible things, and I've seen fighter pilots do the same thing. They fly like nobody else can. They become one with the machine.
Yeah.
And they're like phenoms. It's incredible to watch. So that happens in the police community. You get that second instinct, and you instantly go into that mode, just like when somebody gets sick or some emergency, you know what to do. You know exactly if somebody has a seizure or somebody has a heart attack.
It's a natural response. I mean, you know, things are just kind of, I always say they're rapidly evolving and they're fast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're breaking up on some of that, but yeah, things are, you know, when they're rapidly evolving, it happens fast. Your instinct, the things that you work around, situations you're called in, you know, and I'm sure, like in the Air Force,
yeah,
you're taught nothing is the same. Expect the unexpected is going to happen. You know, if you expect the unexpected,
yes,
the best,
yeah,
for the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and that's a good philosophy, and it works great. And you never don't know what's going to happen from 1 hour to the next. You have broke airplanes. You have no idea. And then you have situations. You have personnel, everything. And this is like just like when you skydive, you know, it's a big, giant responsibility on your shoulders, but you're taught to how to handle these things, stressful or not. And you worry about the stress later. You just got to get the job done.
Yeah, you're stressed. It's not even a factor because it's like dealing with one of your children. If you respond and you have to react, you're going to do whatever you got to do, and you're going to think about it because they're your responsibility. I mean, it's just,
yeah.
You find yourself sometimes in the dangerous positions, and you think, well, have you ever been driving and you're down the interstate and some fool makes a harebrained move?
Right.
And you pull yourself away from it. Which easily, if you had made the wrong decision, would have been ugly for everybody.
Right.
The first thing you think is, wow, I got it out. The second thing is, let me just kick that guy's That's me. I'm like,
Yeah, it's really their responsibility, you know, people doing that kind of stuff.
And not everybody's perfect. Sometimes you might do a harebrained move and go, what was I just
thinking? Yeah, right. Why did I do that?
You have a blind spot.
Uh-huh.
You didn't see that you're always looking for.
Yeah.
And then you realize if you start moving over, you're you know.
Right.
Instead of drive by and you just go.
Especially if you're law enforcement.
You'd be like.
Oh, wow. So, is there anything you want to say before you go?
I like shows like this. That's, like I said, to me, I think communication is the key. The more we can talk about it, the better we are in conversation. Sometimes the best conversations you can have are with people who have differences of opinion. And
mm-hmm.
you can figure out what you do agree on, work on that solidly, and be great at it. And then somewhere along the way, there might be some conversation that can break the ice to fix the other problems.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's true. But you got to get the other side to think like that. You
Because right now, it's like everybody on the other side, if they can't get what they want, they just want to break into your house and burn your house down.
Yes.
They don't want to talk about it. They just want to break into your house, burn your house down, and make you sleep in the street.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's unfortunate because that's not who...
No, it isn't.
Who we are as a society. Yeah. And I believe in you help people. You know, I always... You know, it's like this, you know, if you think about all the things that people say, and I equate sometimes back, I tell people, if you look back, one of the biggest and best movies I think of the year, and, you know, I say it's a 10,000-foot flyover, and it wasn't really about the guy's life, but it's about his thought process and everything. Is that movie of this year, where he talks about things of you know, the dream, if I could dream, and all these things, and his song, you know, If I Could Dream, was a big in the movie. It's really huge in the movie, and it talks about that. If I could dream of a better land where all my brothers walk hand in hand. But when you listen to the song with a powerful emotion, if people take time to listen to that song, If I Could Dream, it makes you really think about the times then and times now.
Right.
Things are right, but the thought pattern and the bitterness hasn't always changed. Reality, things have changed for the better. But people sometimes don't want to feel like they changed for the better because everybody's always going to be, somebody always wants to be a victim. Somebody has to be a victim. It's got to be a good guy and a bad guy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, and I tell, and there's one of the kids the other week I was talking to, I said, listen to this song, If I Can Dream. I listened to the song by Elvis, In Together. And you know what he said to me? He said, wow, that's going on now. I said, that should tell you something. You could be the difference. You can make the change that this is talking about. Or you can be the problem. You have to make that decision. What you want to be, not what you feel like you're being forced to be.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
You turn out bad because of it, or you can turn out great in spite of it.
Yes.
I would leave that with anybody's anything we do. Don't let bad set your tone.
Yes.
And be an example, not only for your family, but for brothers around you. Do the best you can. And just know at the end of the day that you did exactly that. And if you do that, then you're a winner at the end of the day.
Totally agree. And I appreciate you coming on tonight. And I'd like to have you back on. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. So, in the future.
Do what you want to.
Have
this interview, might say, oh, my God.
No.
I tend to be a comedian a lot, too.
Oh, that's good.
So, you know.
Sure.
So, I was sitting when I write my own jokes.
Really?
So,
okay.
Right, so, I went down to the coast. You know, and I was I think I could get this ship rented out and take my wife out of the ocean. He said, sure. I said, can I get a chef to go with us? He said, yeah. I said, is there a way I can set up a romantic dinner with us? He said, sure, we can provide all that. I said, how long would that be? He said, that's several. He said, that'll be a three-hour tour. I got to think of a three-hour tour. Wait a minute. Three-hour tour.
Yeah.
There is no Mary Andrew. I said, and then there's no Mr. Howe or anybody. Wife. And wait a minute. That's going to make me gilly. I'm going to have the biggest honeydew fish you've ever seen because ain't nobody up there to build because there's nothing to build.
You know, that's pretty creative. That's the other side of your brain that a lot of people don't have. Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Hey. Yeah, right. Because you can actually, there's the app that you can that records everything you sing, and it turns it to a word file.
No
way. I like it. Wow. Yeah. You like to have fun. That's good. I like that too. That's a big personality. You're going to be my fill-in host. You know, the first two hosts I had for this week and next week are both from Florida, so they're both out for right now. So.
Oh, yeah. They're busy. Yeah, they're down there.
And they're both, they're both running for office, D.C. So my goal is, I've got a lot of people that I've interviewed that are running for, like, national congresswoman. I want to visit them at the office eventually one day. So that'd be cool. No, I was on a podcast with him. He opened up the podcast and I was one of the guests on there. Yes, I've seen him. Yes. Yeah, you know, that would be awesome because, yeah, a friend of mine who was on his show, Rory Sauter. He's great guy. Yeah.
Yeah, just sit down, ignore me, just pay a bit of phone.
I sure will. No, you set the time and the length, and that's how I do the show, and then I don't have questions for you. I develop them as I go. So I really want to listen. That's the point. And learn.
Well, take conversation.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this is you know, my guests are the, you know, the focus of the show. I'm just a facilitator, and I like to ask questions, and usually, since we're in a different format, things are a little different, so... Okay, awesome. Yeah, that sounds good. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much for the invite. And just call me anytime, and I'll try to do that.
Okay, yeah, I will be happy to do that. And I appreciate you coming on at the last minute. You know, it's like, you're like gold. Guests like that are gold. Because sometimes it happens, you have a backup, and both your backups are in Florida, then you're kind of stuck. So thank you.
And you see, I got the United States on.
Oh, wow.
And it's
Wow, yeah. Okay. Wow. That's cool.
So my granddaughter wanted it, but so I got it for her. And there's really no place for it. That's a good excuse to buy it. So, I got it. So now she makes sure it's still there, but she doesn't buy it. Definitely, you'll get it one day. I promise.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Anyway, you know, she's 10 years old, she's a big elephant.
Oh, that's unusual. That's good to eat because, yeah, people don't know who Elvis is that young.
And now
it's,
listen, biggest increase in the sales.
Yeah.
Spotify.
Yeah.
13 million people.
Whoa.
And during this movie, almost 4 million people.
Incredible. I like that. Retro is coming back, by the way, you know, because they're showing, like, all these programs like Dragnet and yeah, me too. I like the old detectives. Right, right. Yeah, I mean, that's... No, that's all new. Yeah, I grew up with that. That's not new.
So anyway, before God, then one more thing. Do cannibals go to the circus?
Uh-oh.
They go to the clown show. Looking around. This is the other one. Wife says, hey, the clown takes funny to you?
No. Yeah, oh yeah, I love it. Beautiful. Brilliant. I like that kind of stuff. I do that myself, but not on the air. Right. Oh, that's a compliment then. Right. For me. Thank you. I'll be calling you. I'll be calling you sometime soon because I appreciate there's so much more to you that we find out at the end. So I appreciate it. All right. You have a good night. And that's the end of our show tonight. And I appreciate our guest, Mr. Rick Padgett. Welcome to the PNR network. You're going to be, we never know because we might have an opening in our network as well, too. So. Okay, I will refer you then. So we'll see how that works out. All right, thank you. Have a good night, sir. All right, that's the end of the Mexican Beacon Show. And we only have, there we go, 1 minute left on the radio part. We're going to end this episode. And